Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's DJ Gas here. I'm the host of The Spotlight. Hope everybody had a wonderful week. I know I sure did. I was actually up at the Trade Winds Resort in St. Pete for a few days. But I'm back home down in Fort Lauderdale to do The Spotlight Show. And I have a very special guest on the line. His name is Mr. Willie Jones. He's running. Willie, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. Thank you so much, sir, for agreeing to be on the show. It's very important for me to have you. You're one of the first candidates, or I don't call you a politician, because you're running for a position here. But you're one of the first people I've had on the show who's actually running for election this year. And again, thank you so much for agreeing to come on.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, I was going to introduce you and tell everybody who you are and what you do, but I think I'm going to let you do that yourself. Because I'm sure you can explain it a little bit better than me. We're going to ask some questions and do a formal interview after that. But for the listeners who don't know who you are, don't know what you're doing, and may not be aware of the position that you're running for here in Broward County, please give me that information.
Yes. Good afternoon to you and your audience again. My name is Willie Jones. I'm currently running for the position of Broward County Sheriff. Now, I was born and raised in Dade County, second of five children. I've worked in law enforcement for approximately 40 years of my life. I started out with the Metro Dade Corrections Officer for about 5 years. Went to the city of Fort Lauderdale as a police officer for approximately 8 years. Then I took some time off from law enforcement and started teaching and training community policing and community relationships all over the country, returned back home, and completed my career with the Broward Sheriff's Office.
Okay.
You there? Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening.
Oh, you're listening? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I completed my undergrad at the University of Phoenix, Bachelor in Science and Business Management in 2004. I then went on to achieve my master's in business administration with a human resource management in 2006. And the purpose, I think we're going to get into this a little late on. The purpose,
absolutely,
the reason for learning is simply it's time for a change. It's time to bring law enforcement from the 20th century to the 21st century. I'm open for your questions now.
Right. Well, that's a very profound statement. I see you do have an extensive career in law enforcement. We're going to get into that with a few questions. But I guess that's the first question. How long have you been in law enforcement, and what is your position now?
Right now, I am currently retired. The actual number of years is 39.9 years, 3 months shy of 40 years. When I first started in law enforcement, I was 19. 1 week later, I turned 20 years old. That's what Metro Dade.
All right. So you've been in law enforcement almost 40 years. When you retired, what was your position when you retired?
When I retired from law enforcement, I retired as a sergeant. Now, let me do a little backdrop, a little history on that. During my tenure with the Broward Sheriff's Office, I took four examinations, passing all four. The last three were for the position of lieutenant. I spent six consecutive years on a lieutenant's list with my degrees, with no disciplinary action and all outstanding or above average evaluations. And because of the biases that are inside of the agency, I was overlooked. And many of the people that were selected, I trained them as sergeants and as lieutenants to move up.
Okay, all right. So you had a long career, and you're saying that possibly you could have been higher in rank, but for you know reasons that you mentioned, you probably weren't. But listen, you have a very distinguished career from the information that I've read about you and what you've told us so far. Very distinguished career in law enforcement. We appreciate you for your service and all that you've done for the community. Now, so you worked 4 years. You retired. Why are you running for the position of Broward County Sheriff at this time?
As I stated,
you mentioned that it's time for a change. I need to cut you off. You mentioned it's time for a change, but can you give us a little bit more as to why you're choosing this particular time to run for that position?
Because if we take a look at the landscape, if we take a look all across the county, across the state, across the country, there has been a disconnect between our diverse communities and law enforcement. To be more frankly, we've lost trust and respect for the people that we put in authority over us. So with that being said, the current administration has taken on the status quo of what's been happening in the 20th century. And I'll say this, Jeff, the children of the 21st century will not be policed like the people that I policed and grew up with. The millennials and the centennials, the Xers, the Yers, the Jenners will not be policed like the baby boomers. And there are more baby boomers alive in this country today than baby boomers. So law enforcement has to revamp, redirect how they deliver policing services to our communities of the 21st century. That's why I'm running, is because the status quo want to remain the status quo, and it's not going to work.
Yeah, I agree with you that today's young people, and even some of the adults, they're more informed of the law. They know more about their rights. They know more about what police should and should not be doing. They have social media. They have video cameras and video phones to kind of capture police officers when they're not doing what they should be doing, and also when they feel their rights are being violated. So you're absolutely right. There is needs to be a change in the way police officers police the community. And we didn't even get into some of the other issues that we're going to talk about, police brutality and violation of civil rights for blacks. But, yeah, I think that's definitely something that's going to happen. You know, the citizens are just more educated and informed of what their rights are. And you're absolutely right. I think that's a good point you just brought up.
Yeah, and remember, the leaders that we have in place now, many of them, they elevated through the ranks of the 20th century. So they're trained with that philosophy, with that understanding. And many of them are anchored in, they're cemented in their beliefs and their training. Now, let me do a small illustration for you. We take the children of today, the kids of today. From the time they can start speaking, we give them tablets, smartphones. We tell them to question anything that they do not understand and not to move forward until they receive the answers that they're looking for. We take the police officers who have been trained with the models of the 20th century, which says you are an authority. You control the situation. You answer no questions. It's your scene, it's yours. Well, when you put those two people together in the same area, both of them are practicing what they've been taught, and there you have the friction. The uniqueness about it, we're telling the community, you need to gravitate towards the police officer. But the community has never taken an oath unless you're becoming a citizen for the first time in the United States to uphold the Constitution. The person that must uphold the Constitution is the law enforcement officer, not to violate the constitutional rights or civil rights or human rights of people that we're serving. Thus, with that being said, we need to change how we employ law enforcement officers and how we train them.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely something that I've heard a lot of people talk about. when it comes to police relationships, particularly with the black community, that, you know, some of the practices and training needs to be changed. And hopefully those things will be addressed. Once again, everybody, it's DJ Gatsby. You're listening to The Spotlight, a Broward Talk Radio show. We have Mr. Willie Jones. He's a candidate for the Broward County, Florida Sheriff's Department. The election is going to be on August 30th, 2016. And he's took a moment out of his busy schedule campaigning to talk to us. I didn't ask you before you came on. Now, running for the Broward County Sheriff, is that a political position where you need to be a Republican or a Democrat to run and or vote for a particular candidate?
Yes, it is a partisan race. I'm running as a Democrat. There are three other people in the primary running as a Democrat. In order to vote for us in this election, in the primary of August 30th, you must be a registered Democrat. Now, the uniqueness about that is that in 1973, I did two important things. Now, the younger people won't understand this because I don't think they have to do it now. I registered to vote, then I registered for the draft. Now, I've been a Democrat my entire adult life. The current administrator, the current sitting sheriff, became a Democrat 8 years ago to win the seat of sheriff. He was a Republican up until that point. For people in Broward County, the majority of the county's voters are Democrats. So it's easier to run as a Democrat and win than as a Republican and win.
Okay. No, I understand that. With the way it's more Democrats probably in this county would make your job easier once you get past the primary. Now, another question that I wanted to ask is, now you mentioned some of the problems that police are currently facing with the community, which lies, the buck stops with the commissioner, with the county sheriff, rather. The buck stops with him. Will you bring to that position, as the Broward County Sheriff? Because you're not on the front lines with the officers that are out there patrolling. So as a sheriff, what changes would you hope to make, within the department, the Broward County Sheriff's Office?
First of all, I will bring true leadership because we're not going to make any changes until we change how the agency is led. See, management, we can teach someone to be a manager. We can teach people how to do the job, how to look at objectives, how to look at analyze numbers. But one thing we cannot teach is leadership. See, a leader comes in with a clear vision. He shares that vision with others and who are willing to follow him. He provides the information and knowledge and methods to realize the vision and how to get it done by talking to people. You ask the question, what do I bring? First of all, it's leadership. Second, it is vision. And the third thing is I understand what's going on the front lines with the individuals on the streets. Many of our law enforcement personnel, they get hired for all the right reasons. They want to do a good job. But you cannot anticipate or expect them to be at the top of their game if you are not providing them with the tools, the resources to effectively do the job. One of the things that we're going to bring in, another one of the things, is that we're going to bring in true cultural diversity. We're not going to bring in a program that sits the officers down for 4 hours. We're talking of 40 to 80 hours that will be built into the training, because until we learn to respect our differences of culture, of religious cultures, of basic traditions in our diverse communities, we will inadvertently, unintentionally, or intentionally insult someone. So one of the ways to avoid that is start talking culture. What are our differences?
Yeah, that very important position. I I like the way you explained exactly what you would bring to the position, and that is leadership. Again, you know, as the Broward County Sheriff, the current one, anything that happens out there while these cops are patrolling, you know, the good things that they do, and then some of the negative things that happen, ultimately stops with the sheriff. Now, for these voters that are out here, so the primary is coming up in October 30th. Why should the voters vote for you? You know, you mentioned that there were three others in the race. You know, what differentiates you, or what makes you feel the voters should vote for you and not the other candidates that are in the race?
Okay, couple of things. 40 years in law enforcement, 40 years on the front line. Being raised up in the African-American community. So I've seen law enforcement, the good and bad, as a citizen. I've seen the good and bad as an officer, as doing the job. What makes me uniquely different is that I told you that for 4 years, I trained other communities, law enforcement and communities, on community relationship building and community policing. I'm just not a practitioner. I'm an instructor on how to get it done. I've actually learned the techniques, applied the techniques, and received the rewards from the techniques. They can be done, but it takes more than a political correctness or politically correct word, community policing. Community policing is not just a phrase. It's a culture. You buy into it. You do it every day because it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
And those are the things that's different than I am. And besides working in law enforcement for almost 40 years, no disciplinary action, none whatsoever, that tells me my integrity is very high. It tells me my character is pristine. And it will remain that way as the sheriff. My dad always told me the truth stands up by itself. A lie needs reasons, rationale. It needs some help to make it stand up. There's nothing that damages trust more than a lie, an untruthfulness, or the implied untruthfulness. And one of the things we will be doing is putting in a third-party investigative system The police will stop policing themselves. And what that's going to do for the agency is that we're going to hold our deputies to higher standards of integrity, because we no longer will be able to say, he's my friend, I know him, I owe him one. It's going to come in very clear, unscathed. But a community is going to say, when I make a complaint, I know it's going to be heard. I'm going to get a response to it. That's how you start building trust, when people know there are no hidden agendas.
Okay. You know, one of the – I'm glad we're speaking about that issue of trust. A lot of times in these communities, particularly, you know, minority communities here in Southern Florida, you have a very diverse population. You don't just have African Americans, but you have people from Jamaica, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, and a lot of the other Caribbean islands. So it's not just, you know, African Americans who are distrustful of the police. I know in the black community there's an old age trend of not snitching and not working with police. And I've always been one to say, well, you know, that's not a good thing to do. I guess it depends on the situation when someone will work with the police if it hits close to home. But the person I was talking to reminded me that police officers have a no-snitch rule as well. They have a blue wall of silence. They don't tell on each other. And in the black community, they don't tell on each other. How are you going to address that blue wall of silence and that seemingly no snitch rule that law enforcement has as well?
Well, let's get to the blue wall of silence.
Okay.
Originally, that blue wall was not set up to protect officers that do wrong. It was to form a brotherhood. It slid to the left before we realized it. That's the reason I stated earlier, when we're going to bring in that outside entity, well, we're no longer policing each other, and it's going to give the police officers inside of the agency the support for doing what's right. Because many of the police officers, law enforcement in this country, they want to do it right. But we need to put the support systems there to help them, to where the good officers are the majority and the officers that are not doing what they're supposed to do are the minority. So thus we can change that culture. But it's going to take a leader who's not afraid to step outside of the box. Because when I started running this race, we took no money from political figures. We took no money from folks with a lot of money. In other words, the establishment. Because when we decided, when we become sheriff, we want to work for the people. We want the people to understand we're here to change things. Now, when we talk about the black community, that snitches get stitches and all that craziness, all the communities that I worked in, I have not had a problem extracting information or people talking to me. And the reason that happens, it comes through respect. I never walked into a community and had predisposed, predisposed expectations. I didn't want the community to meet me at my standards. I met the community at their standards. And that's one of the principles of community policing, accepting the community where they are and try to move them on. But first you have to understand where they are.
Yes. Well, that's a very good point. Again, tensions are very high across the country with the number of African-American killed by police officers and the lack of prosecution and or punishment for police officers. And a lot of people understand the judicial system, but it's hard to kind of accept the judicial process when it comes to police officers and seemingly unarmed black men being shot and murdered. And, you know, the judiciary system, the lawyers, the judges, or DAs fail to prosecute or even file charges against police officers. You know, as county sheriff, how would you explain that phenomenon as it is in the black community? Because a lot of people just don't understand it. How would you explain, you know, that issue? Because it's something that's definitely going to come up. It's a big, big talking point all over the country. The lack of prosecution for police officers who are seemingly, killing unarmed black men.
Okay, you know, that's a good point. And I'm going to start at the top. We're in an election year. We're looking to elect a president. What a lot of people are missing is that this current the president that we elect will have an opportunity to appoint maybe 4 Supreme Court judges. More so with that, they would have an opportunity to fill approximately 78 federal benches that are vacant. Why is that important?
Okay.
The importance is that all those positions I just talked about, they're for life.
Yes.
40 to 50 years. They're going to set the tone of this country. So we as citizens, we as voters in this country, we need to become more aware of who we are voting for. Now, coming to the local level, let's get to the state level, because your House of Representatives and your senators set the laws, make the laws for the state of Florida that law enforcement officers must uphold. Again, we need to know who we're voting for. Do they have the community's best interest at heart? Are they going to pass the laws to protect citizens or police? Now, let's get down to the state attorney. The state attorney is the one that decides if they're going to file the charges. Normally, when we start talking about state attorneys, public defenders, and the sheriffs at the local level, we tend to go to sleep and just check the box of the name that we hear all the time. We need to search out these individuals, take a look at their track records, because if you look at the current sheriff, is where in 2014, Jim DeFede did a report and stated that 76% of all African-Americans that were arrested in Broward County was done by this agency under the leadership of the current administration. What does that tell you when we only make up 24%? That tells us that the diversity is not there, the old guard is still in place, and that we need to take a look at their records. If you look at the state attorney for the past 40 years, and I'm not talking against the state attorney, these are facts, Broward County is the leading county for sending African Americans to prison. So when we start affecting people, we need to actually listen to what they're saying and looking at their records. You know, in 1980, the war against drugs, African Americans made up 80% that were arrested and convicted. If we look at today, it's easy to make the statement, it's been 50 years. 50 years and nothing has changed. You know, and then if we ask that question, what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different outcome. If we've been doing this for 50 years, and we're still making up 80 to 90% of people being arrested, 89, 90% of people that are being sent to prison, we need to step back as a community and say, oh, wait a minute, are we practicing insanity?
Wow.
So it's,
I didn't expect you off. That's an issue that's definitely needs to be addressed, more so a conversation to help people understand why things are the way they are and what can be done to make the changes. Once again, everybody, it's Who's Who in African American Lit, Broward Talk Radio Show, it's DJ Gaffney in the spotlight with candidate for Broward County Sheriff, Mr. Willie Jones. Willie, the show is almost over. A few more questions for you before we go.
Okay.
Mainly, I'd like to know, where are some of the places that you're going to be campaigning, where are some of the places, prospective voters can see you at, or do you have any upcoming appearances that you'd like to mention before the show's over?
Yes, let me get to my calendar real quick here. On November 11th, we will be at the
Guardia. Please take your time, because I'm sure you got a lot of people here who are going to be wondering where they can see you and where you're going to be campaigning.
And I don't have it in front of me. I wasn't expecting that question. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, that's all right. I can get that information and share it with my listeners and some of my followers here as well. The other question that I wanted to have you have is, I don't really know too much about the history of the Broward County Sheriff's Office. Would you be the first African-American sheriff of Broward County if you're elected?
I will be the first elected African-American sheriff in Broward County. There was one appointed, and I think he lasted no more than 6 to 8 months. For us, is a history statement. But the thing is, when I look at my qualifications, and the reason I'm saying this, because I've been asked this question before, and my qualifications clearly sets me above everyone else in this race. But because I'm African American, it's not why I'm running. I'm simply running because I'm qualified. I've been preparing for this for 30 years. I told Sylvia Portier, who was the only city and county commissioner over 30 years ago, that I will be the sheriff of Broward County. And everything I've done in the past 30, 40 years has been preparing me for this moment.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate the time. You've been very forthcoming with your answers to some of the questions that I had. The other question that I wanted to have before we go is that it's concerning the Black Lives Matter movement. A lot of people have a different understanding of what it is and what they stand for. And there seems to be a misunderstanding about Black Lives Matter and the respect for police in the community. I just want to say that here we have the utmost respect for police officers and law enforcement, but we also understand the Black Lives Matter movement because it seems law enforcement doesn't have the respect for Black lives during, you know, their job in the Black communities. How do you feel about the relationship between law enforcement and the Black Lives Matter movement? And, you know, how would you, you know, try to mend that as Broward County Sheriff, should you be elected?
Well, when we get elected, we must understand that everybody that lives, works, that's in Broward County, visits Broward County, are stakeholders of within Broward County. And until we recognize everybody as a stakeholder, everybody has a position, everybody should be heard and listened to. And what we're planning, we have some strategic plans in place. We're planning to organize and have everybody that has a vested interest, and that's everybody in the county, we're going to invite them to the table. And what we're talking about, we're not inviting people to the table to drink tea and eat crumpets. We're bringing people to come in to bring solutions. You don't have to like Willie Jones. You don't have to like the police. Only thing we ask you to do is agree to sit to the table and agree to disagree, but also agree to, before we leave, come up with a solution. Now, let me tell you about movements, and I know we're over time now. The very first movement demonstration in this country happened with the Boston Tea Party. They marched in the streets, went onto the Queen's Tee, and threw it into the Boston Harbor. That was the first demonstration. And what did we get out of that? The United States of America. We can talk about the march from to Selma. We can talk about the civil rights. We can talk about when women can vote and what they did. They took to the streets. We can talk about prohibition. They took to the streets. Every social change that dealt with civil liberties always started in the streets. And normally when people go to the streets, when they get there, it's because their voices have been silenced and they are desperately trying to be heard. So we cannot punish people for trying to have their voices heard. As governors, as people in leadership roles, we have to recognize that. We may not agree with it, but we need to recognize it, embrace it, so we can come together. And once we come together, then we can start rebuilding the trust and the respect that we need. We must, law enforcement must, stop dismissing people because they don't sit in the same corner of agreement.
Wow. Yeah. Listen, thank you so much, Mr. Jones. And, you know, we wish you the best in the upcoming election. Again, you represented Broward County law enforcement very well during your time as a police officer and during this campaign, and we wish you the best in the upcoming election. Is there any last words you'd like to have to your voters before the interview is over?
Yes. Don't imagine a difference. Make a difference. Let's get out and vote. Let's show the politicians that we want to be heard, we want to be counted, and the only way we can do that is by showing up in numbers and casting votes. I hope and pray that you vote for me, but mostly, get out and vote. And the millennials, the young people, you have been counted out. They say they're only expecting 70,000 people to show up, and you are not part of that 70,000. show up to the polls and vote so they can hear you in this process so we can start making the changes we need for not just for the millennials and the centennials, but for my great-great-grandkids. We need to put something in place to keep moving and get involved. Vote, and when I become chair, apply. Let's get you hired. Let's get you in there. We need people to invest into our communities, and who's best to invest but the people that actually live here.
All right. Thank you again, Mr. Jones. That's Willie Jones, candidate for Broward County Sheriff. Don't forget the election is August 30th. Make sure you get out and vote. Also, don't forget to join me on Who's Who and African American Lit Block Talk Radio Show next Wednesday, August 10th, when my guest will be civil rights activist from New York, Miss Vanessa Green. Mr. Jones, thank you so much for your time. The show is just about over. Good luck in your campaign. I think you'd make a great, great commissioner. But again, the will of people will be heard on election day. Yes.
Yeah. The great chair. Thank you very much. Thanks. Thanks, your audience, for listening to me. And please, if you need to get in contact with me, I can be reached at WWilliejones2016.com. We answer all questions.
That's our website.
That's our website, correct.
All right. If you have any questions about contacting Mr. Jones or information about where to vote, make sure you check the Broward County Board of Elections and get that information. Mr. Jones, thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and I hope to be speaking to you again soon.
Please, I'll be glad to come on so we can actually take some questions from the audience. Thank you much. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Have a blessed weekend. Talk to you later. Bye now.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, good night, everyone. Again, thanks for tuning in to the Spotlight. Don't forget, as I said before, next Wednesday, August 10th, Vanessa Green, civil rights activist, member of the Black Lives Movement in New York, will be my guest. God bless. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Are y'all ready? Come on. 1, 2. Three.
Yeah, yeah, by all means necessary. It's the one and only J.I.D., the Kid Capri. And you know my man Ted Fool, leaning all over the city, banging all over the world. That's what's up, all DJs turning up past 10. Ain't nothing to it. This is how New York feels to sound. And we back at it, all happy people.
Ted Fool, straight face, you remember
the number.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Come on, sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. Come on. Hot air balloon that could go to space.